right, I hope you have your seatbelt on because we have now officially entered into some turbulent winds. In case you've been hiding under a rock, you've missed a lot of developments that has happened over the past 24 to 48 hours. We've got Britain that's nearly in a full-blown civil war. We've got military equipment moving into place, positioning for a global confrontation that looks like it's going to spark from the Middle East. Iran, ready. Israel, ready. Russia's ready. Turkey's ready. All the players of prophecy, ready. The Japanese stock market overnight, while you were sleeping, the entire economy nearly collapsed. The entire world's economy is teetering. We're going to talk about all this today on today's program. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, everybody? This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. It is Monday, August 5th, 2024, and we have got a lot to talk about today. Before we get started, as always, guys, please do me a favor, smash that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification so that you can be informed across all these social media platforms. And if you've not picked up our free app, what are you doing? Why have you not picked it up yet? It is absolutely free. It's available on Apple and Android devices. Go to your Play Store, download it today, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go. Everything's going to be right at your fingertips. You're going to be notified of every headline, every breaking news, every podcast, everything when it's readily available. So again, guys, in case, and believe it or not, there is people out there that are oblivious to what's going on, but we have got so much to cover. Let's talk about the economy first. We've got, it looks as though the wheels are now finally coming off of the U.S. economy, and it's not just the U.S., but the whole entire world is teetering on the brink of what some economists are saying is the next Great Depression. And for a long time now, there's been so much denial. There's been so much just sweeping this under the rug that the U.S. economy has been in, we're great. Everything's dandy. Happy days are here. There's nothing to see here. The Biden administration, the mainstream media, all of them keep and continued insisting that everything was great, everything was dandy. When those of us who had common sense, we live in the real world, we shop at real grocery stores, and we have been impacted by real inflation, we know the reality has been here for a while. The recent panic began this past Friday, and it was breathtaking to say the least. Investors are desperate for the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates, but so far the Fed has not yet moved. All comes as the Labor Department on this past Friday reported that employers added 114,000 jobs in the month of July, missing the 175,000 gain forecast by LSEG economists. The unemployment rate also unexpectedly inched higher to 4.3% against expectations that it would hold steady at 4.1. So let's recap that. Job reports were well under forecasted in the negative. Unemployment has gone up and not remained steady. And it appears that the unemployment rate is only going to continue to go higher because large companies all across America continue to shed workers. In fact, a recent report indicated that Intel announced that it will be cutting 15% of its entire workforce. This is around roughly 17,000 jobs.
Intel, one of the biggest employers in the East Valley, announced that they're laying off 15% of their workforce. That's about 15,000 jobs. Tonight, we're working to learn how many of those jobs are in Arizona. Intel says that their revenues have not grown as expected.
And Intel is not the only one, guys. Businesses all across America are continuing to file bankruptcy. The filings of bankruptcy has risen more than 40%, according to a recent report, during the past 12 months. And some analysts are saying the last time we saw business bankruptcy filings this high was during the lockdowns in the early days of the pandemic. And as a result of this, there has been multiple businesses that continue to fail, and commercial real estate values are also plummeting. Brookfield-owned gas company Tower in downtown Los Angeles has plummeted over $400 million in value. The skyscraper was recently valued at $214.5 million. It was appraised at $632 million just 3 years ago. So look how much that has plummeted. This, again, is what is being called a commercial real estate apocalypse. Banks are all, they're in a place now where it's only a matter of time before they completely go belly up. And this goes on the report of many prominent experts that have continued to warn that a tsunami of bank failures is in motion. It is inevitable. It's going to take place. And then we had now that was Friday. Then we have what took place overnight. Look at this headline from the Daily Mail. Fears that the U.S. is heading for recession triggers global stock market plunge, with Japan's Nikkei experiencing the worst sell-off since Black Monday.
And markets around the globe this morning are selling off. Overnight, Japan's Nikkei plunged 12%, its worst day since the 1987 Black Monday crash. Here, investors are responding to that Friday jobs market report on the jobs market, showing that employers added just 114,000 jobs in July, and that was well below the 185,000 forecast. The unemployment rate jumped to 4.3%, which is still very low, but it shows joblessness has increased more than 0.5% since January. And it's something that it just doesn't usually happen in a healthy economy. A rise like that is historically a sign that a recession is imminent.
Now, I'll talk about Black Monday in just a moment, but even this headline to me is deceiving. When it says that the U.S. is heading for a recession, guys, we've been in a recession. I don't know. Again, I don't know where you live, but I see inflation everywhere. I think most of us can agree with this. I don't think that we ever fully recovered from the pandemic. I mean, I know people personally that lost their jobs during the pandemic, completely lost their jobs because their place of employment completely shut the doors. It is gone. It's over. Many of these they've completely gone bankrupt. Retails have gone out. Restaurants have shut their door. So again, I don't think it's a matter of we're going into recession. I think we've been in a recession, and now we are on the precipice of going into what is, again, the only thing that we have as a point of reference to is the Great Recession. But they're saying, now think about the magnitude of this, guys. Japan's entire stock market nearly collapsed. And they're saying that this, again, was the worst experience and sell-off since Black Monday. Now, in case you didn't know, Black Monday is a reference to a significant stock market crash that took place on October 19th, 1987. I was 10 years of age then. On this very day, the stock markets around the globe plummeted dramatically. In the United States, the Dow Jones Industrial dropped 508 points, which is a loss of about 22.6%. Guys, wait till I show you what happened today. Again, I'm recording. This is pre-recorded, but it's airing now at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. At the time of this recording, I'm going to show you the bell's about to ring to close out today and the next probably about an hour and a half of the time of this recording. But I'm going to show you the numbers, and we've just broke that record.
History in the making.
Of what some would call history in the making. Scary, don't say that.
We have never been down 1,000 points ever, not even intraday on the NASDAQ.
Is that true?
That is true.
Okay. I'm down 6% right from the get-go. This is heavy, heavy, big tech. Here we go. Look at them go down. Microsoft is down 20 bucks, that's 5%. Alphabet, 5%. Meta, 6%. Amazon, 6%. Apple, 9% down.
But again, on Black Monday, global stock markets plummeted dramatically. And the U.S., in the U.S., the Dow Jones Industrial dropped by 580 points, losing 22.6%, which was the largest one-day percentage decline in history. Now, back then, there were several factors that caused this. It was a domino effect. The use of computer algorithms for trading, known as program trading, amplified the speed and magnitude of the market decline. You had widespread fear and panic among investors, leading to massive sell-offs. Then you had concerns about inflation, interest rates, and overall economic conditions contributing to market instability. Again, those were the three dominoes that all fell simultaneously, causing the Black Monday of 1987. This particular crash had significant repercussions, leading to increased regulation and changes in trading practices to prevent similar events in the future. Well, so much for that, because it didn't prevent that from happening. Despite the severity of the crash, markets recovered relatively quickly in the subsequent months. Now, it'll be interesting to see where we go from here. Now, I say that because look at this headline from, this is from CNBC. The Dow tumbles 1,000 points. The S&P 500 loses 3% as Monday session nears close. Again, you could see the time of this is near 3 p.m. Eastern when I'm sharing this report with you. And again, this is insane. Now, if you want to know the magnitude of how serious this is, Warren Buffett, who is he would be known as an American investor. He's a business tycoon, a philanthropist. He is one of the most successful investors and one of the most richest, what we call elites in America. There's reports stating that he holds $277 billion in cash. Think about that. And has been selling his stocks like never before, including his stocks of Apple.
So on Saturday, Buffett reported that his conglomerate has cut almost half of its position in Apple. That was during the second quarter. But it's not the first time that they have revealed a selling of Apple's shares. Earlier, during the annual meeting for Berkshire, they talked about selling Apple. It was a release that they signaled as a reduction, as a concentration of risk. And they also referenced that it was trimming the position to balance out the holdings, and that it was also related to some sort of tax management.
Let me say that again. Warren Buffett, who's one of the wealthiest elites in America, is on a spending spree, selling his stocks like never before. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you something. When you see guys like this doing that kind of activity, they know something's up. They know something big is on the brink.
He is having the biggest fire sale he's ever had. He's never sold stocks, dumped stocks like he's dumping them right now. That's what happened to Apple a couple of weeks ago. He said, I don't really feel comfortable with Apple. I'm going to sell. But what we didn't know until he had to file is he's selling everything and holding on just to the creme de la creme. What does Warren Buffett know that we don't know? The words of my grandfather keep ringing in my head. If we only knew what the rich people knew before the Great Depression, we would have been fine. Well, what are the rich people doing? Also, China found out this weekend they are buying, I think it was 50 tons of gold more than they said they did. They said they stopped buying gold, but now some sleuths have gone out there and looked because something wasn't right. All this gold was being shipped over to China, and they realized, my gosh, China is still buying it. They're telling people they're not to try to keep the price down.
Some numbers estimate that over $2 trillion has been wiped out from U.S. stock markets in just the past 24 hours. And in case you didn't know about this, because I know this is outside of America, but in Britain, over the past few days, they have been gripped by violent protest. Some say they are on the very brink of, if not already entered into, a civil war. This is happening across multiple towns and cities in recent days, with mosques and hotels housing asylum seekers among the targets of what the mainstream media is calling far-right demonstrators. Now, all of this unrest stem from the killing of recently of three young girls in a knife attack on a children's dance class in Southport last Monday. What is happening, guys, is, and I'm going to make a statement here that might be stunning to some of you. I believe this is a sneak preview of what's happening in Britain, as a sneak preview of what's coming to America, because they have laid the welcome mat out, and they've allowed all this to come into their country. And there is stabbings, there is murders, there is kidnappings, there's rapings, there's all these things is taking place. And the government is not doing anything about it. The government is not intervening. They're turning a blind eye. And the common citizen are rising up and saying, if you're not going to do anything about this, we are going to take justice into our own hands. This, guys, I'm telling you, this is, I believe, a sneak preview of what's coming to America. This is sad. But if you're paying attention and you're observant, you knew this was coming. You could see this coming like a runaway freight train coming downhill right at you. Even Elon Musk, who made a tweet on X, was recently criticized by the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom for what he tweeted out. In fact, Britain's Keir Starmer, according to the report, took aim at Elon Musk after the tech billionaire claimed the wave of far-right violence hitting the United Kingdom as we speak was inevitable. The British Prime Minister spokesperson said there was, quote, no justification for Musk's comment that he posted this past weekend on his own platform. Now, what did he tweet? He sent out a tweet saying that, quote, civil war is inevitable in the UK. And this has stirred up a firestorm. And in my opinion, what they're trying to do is they're trying to put out the fires of the firestorm that was started by Elon Musk when he said this, because of the response that he got. Because I believe there's a lot of truth to what Musk posted, and they, as they always do, officials, big tech, mainstream media, all of the censorship committees, they want to suppress the truth. They want you, again, they want you to be occupied by the bread and circus. They don't want you to be paying attention to what's, don't look at the right hand, pay attention to what the left hand is doing. Don't worry about that. I know there's smoke, and where there's smoke, there's fire, but don't pay attention to that. Just be entertained, and be comfortable. Just keep your eyes buried in your TikTok, buried in your smartphone. Don't pay attention to what's going on here. Don't listen to those fear mongers that are saying this. Everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be okay. Just like they've been doing this with the economy. I know it looks like that we're in a recession. I know inflation is absolutely insane right now. I know it's very difficult for you to afford your groceries and to pay gas and to live on what the majority of Americans are being paid, and what's out there and what's available. I know it's difficult, and I know that that all the bells and the alarms are going off and signaling that we're on a down spiral. I know that the bubbles are getting larger and they're going to pop, but you know what? Don't pay attention to that. Don't look at that. Again, you're looking at the left hand. Pay attention over here and focus on what the right hand is doing, and everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be dandy, and happy days are here. And listen, I've got news for you. Oh, I know, I can hear it. Oh, Brother Ricky, if Trump was here, if Superman was here today, and Trump was elected as president, then none of this would happen. It would all stop overnight. The economy would be the best it ever was. There'd be no wars. There'd be no conflicts. Listen, if you're looking to any politician to fix what's happening right now, I've got news for you. I know this is going to sting a little bit, but again, brace yourself. No puppets in Washington. Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Vance, Harris, Trump, Biden, or whoever is going to fix what's happening right now. Why? Because it has been foretold. The birth pangs of the Messiah are intensifying. It's increasing. God Almighty is on the throne. He calls the shots, not Washington and not a particular political party. All right, I got more that I want to elaborate on that in just a moment, but I want to move on here. And I want to let's go to the Middle East. All right, according to report, Joe Biden is heading to the quote Situation Room as Iran threatens to attack Israel. Now they've been attacking them. They said it was going to happen over the weekend. It didn't happen over the weekend. Then they said it was going to be Monday. All intel says it's going to happen Monday night. Well, guys, as the recording of this, it should be happening right now. Now, by the time this airs, this could be unfolding. But I'm going to show you another report before we get to that. Let me read this here. President Joe Biden is scheduled to meet with his national security team in the Situation Room later on today. That would be Monday, amid heightened tensions between Iran and Israel. The Islamic Republic could attack Israel in the next 24 to 48 hours. Now, guys, again, I could take you and show you an article where they stated this last week. They said it'd be 24 to 48 hours, and Saturday was, it was actually 24 to 72 hours, and Saturday was the 72-hour mark. So we've gone beyond their threat timeline. But nevertheless, Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken told the G7 yesterday that an attack in response to Israel killing Hamas political leader in Tehran and in Beirut was imminent. Meanwhile, according to the Jerusalem Post, another scathing report came out where Biden has allegedly scolded Netanyahu in a recent talk where he even told Benjamin Netanyahu basically to stop BSing me. This report states that a conversation between the two, again, this is Netanyahu and Joe Biden, took place this past week. Saw the Israeli leader telling Biden, quote, "We are making progress with the negotiation. Send a delegation." This is according to Channel 12. Again, this is an affiliate. Biden's blunt reply was, "Stop BSing me." In addition to the tense exchange, and by the way, that's an abbreviation. He actually said it. In addition to the tense exchange between Netanyahu and U.S. officials, new information has surfaced about Netanyahu's discussion with Israeli security leaders. IDF chief of staff all told Netanyahu, quote, "There are conditions for the deal. I believe it is right to enter negotiations and achieve the best possible outcome." So, guys, here is yet more harsh dealings of our current U.S. president that is scolding and speaking harshly against the prime minister, the leader of Israel right now. This is not the first time, the second time. This has happened on multiple occasions. I mean, for goodness sake, Netanyahu literally just tried to come to the White House and he was shunned by senators, people in Congress. Even Kamala Harris initially didn't meet him when he came and gave his speech, but then had to meet later in private. Now, as I've said, all intel is saying that there is an imminent attack coming. We just don't know when. There is all kinds of conflicting and circulating reports. Even the U.S. Embassy has come out and urged citizens to leave Lebanon on any ticket available. Now, because of this, the U.S. has sent two destroyers capable of shooting down cruise and ballistic missiles to the Mediterranean. Also, some, from what I understand, military personnel is being sent there. So everything's building for this. Iran has also, there was a warning that was issued by Iran which was a notice to pilots and aviation authorities warning of likely disruption of GPS and navigational signals, which are used by pilots for positional data and to follow flight routes. Again, this is another indication that all indicators are pointing that they're preparing for an attack. There are reports indicating that Iran is actually planning to attack Israel on the 9th of Av on the Jewish calendar. Now, again, why is that significant? Well, the 9th of Av is considered to be the most negative time frame for the Jewish people. There's been seven major tragic events that all occurred during this timeline, during the 9th of Av. Let me go through these really quick. Number one, the 10 spies came back with a negative report, which resulted in Israel falling into unbelief and ultimately wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Number two, the destruction of the first temple that was constructed by King Solomon that was destroyed by the Babylonians took place on the 9th of Av. The destruction of the second temple, which was built in 349 B.C., that stood for more than 400 years. According to history, it was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans. And again, Jews were, over 2 million Jews living in the city died from disease, starvation. Many of them were murdered by Roman armies that entered the city. The battle went on for over 3 weeks. And on the 9th of Av, the Jews were succumbed to the battle. Okay. Number four, 2,000 Jews were exiled from England in what was known as the expulsion of the Jews in 1290. This happened on, you guessed it, the 9th of Av. Number five, the expulsion of the Jews from Spain. This took place in 1490. It occurred on the 9th of Av. And number six, the expulsion, on August 1st, 1914, on the 9th of Av, Germany declared war on Russia, opening the gates of fire, fury, and death, which led to the First World War. As a result, many Jews were forced to flee their homes. The end of the World War I also brought with it a rise of anti-Semitism in both Germany and in Russia during the 1917 revolution and beyond. And then finally, number seven, the Treblinka death camp begins operating and start of deportations from the Warsaw Ghetto on July 23rd, 1942, located in a forest northeast of Warsaw. The operation began as death camp and continued operating until October 1943. It just so happened that the date these operations began on at the death camp was on, you guessed it, the 9th of Av. So listen, the Jews understand this. And so does the Persians, and this is why, or the Iranians, whatever. I'm using a biblical term here, so you can understand this from a prophetic perspective. But the Iranians understand the significance of the 9th of Av. Now, if this happens, then that means that this would begin somewhere around August 12th, and end around August the 13th. So August 12th to the 13th is the 9th of Av. So as of the recording of this, this is the 5th. Again, all intel says this attack is going to happen within, again, and I quote, the next 24 to 48 hours. Again, the last week when they made this threat, it was 24 to 72 hours. That 72-hour mark expired on Saturday. So I don't know where they're getting these numbers. But again, I'm not in intel. I'm not in the military. I'm only giving you the reports. You can do what you want with it. But would it not be interesting? I'm just throwing this out there. Would it not be interesting if Iran does actually carry this out? And by the way, when I say carry this out, I don't know if you understand the magnitude of what we're talking about here. We're not talking about just Iran. We're not talking about what we witnessed recently, where just Iran was attacking Israel, and it was a complete flop here. We're talking about, according to reports, it won't be just Iran. It will be a coalition. It will be a coalition that will come together to attack Israel. Now, again, if you guys know your prophecy, if you know your Bible, this language is so prophetic, guys. And for example, let's not even use Ezekiel 38, even though you've heard us talk about in previous programs that Russia, Turkey, and Iran are three big players that are part of this coalition that are all threatening Israel. We talked about this in one of our last podcasts. Go back and listen to it. These are the same three nations mentioned in Ezekiel 38 war. But let's go to the war. I'm going to pull this up. Let's go to look at the Psalm 83 war here. Look at the verbiage here. Behold, your enemies make atonement. I'm just going to highlight some stuff here. And those who hate you lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people. Who? Israel. They've consulted together against your sheltered ones. And by the way, that's where we're at today, guys. Israel is in a what we would call a place of being sheltered. They have the bars. They have the walls. They have the gates. When you go to Ezekiel 38, those bars, those walls, and those gates are down. They're dwelling in a false sense of peace and security. That's when that war comes. And the hooks go in the jaw of those players, Russia, Turkey, Persia, Lebanon, and those others involved. They're pulled into it. But in this war, Psalm 83, they're in a place of shelter. They have the walls. They have the bars. They have the gates. But look at this. They have said, who's they? They, as in a coalition of nations, have all said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation. Is that not what they're saying, guys? Let's come together that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. Look at this. For they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you. Now there's a whole coalition of nations that come together here. Edom, which is parts of southern Jordan. The Ishmaelites. These could be various Arab groups, possibly even including parts of Saudi Arabia. You have Moab, that's Jordan. The Hagrites, that's again Saudi Arabia, parts of Jordan. Gibal, which is in Lebanon. Hello, that's where all this is happening. Iman, Jordan. The Amalek, this is the Sinai Peninsula. Philistia, these are those factions there in Gaza. The Tyre, however you pronounce it there, that's in Lebanon, that's in modern Lebanon. And then, of course, you have Assyria, which encompasses modern-day Iraq, Syria, and Turkey, predominantly where we get the nation Syria from. But all these nations, again, let me pull this back up here, guys. All these are right here in Psalm 83. And again, this is what's amazing, is you're seeing the pages of the Bible just come right out at you. Now, again, guys, I want you to pay attention to what I'm about to tell you here. I believe what we're witnessing is what is the hand of God moving. And when I say the hand of God moving, I'm talking about God ordained and God permitted. Let me say that again. God ordained and God permitted. What do you mean, God ordained and God permitted? Because remember, the book of Daniel said it's God who sets up kings and sets down kings. He appoints times and seasons, okay? But we also know that John 10:10 tells us that the thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and destroy. So I believe, listen, and we know when we put this together, this is what I'm trying to relate to you. Prophecy has to come to pass. Prophecy has to be fulfilled. And in order for the king, in order for the final two kingdoms to arise in the last days, the current kingdoms have to collapse. I know that's big right there. Let me say that again. In order for the final two kingdoms to rise, the current kingdoms have to collapse. Now you say, well, wait a minute, Brother Ricky, time out. Throw a flag on the field. What do you mean? Who are the, what final two kingdoms in the last days? I'm glad you asked. You see, the Bible says that there's coming a kingdom of the beast This, John calls it the eighth and final empire that will be ruled and orchestrated by the Antichrist. Now, he will have a collaborator with him called the false prophet. And in this kingdom, his kingdom will dominate the earth. The Bible says that who will be able to make war with the beast? He will have a collaboration of 10 nations alongside him. He will rule and reign from Jerusalem in the temple. He will create a buying, selling, and trading system. He will have an image that the false prophet will help construct, and people will worship him. He will be worshiped. He will be followed by the masses. The Bible says the whole world will wander after the beast. So you have that, you have the kingdom of the beast, but then, oh, come on, somebody. But then there's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who's coming back on a white horse. Come on. And he's coming with the armies of heaven with him. But watch, before we get there, in order for that to happen, everything that we're seeing, the shakeup, the kingdoms of this world have to collapse because they're in the way. They have to get out of the way in order for this stuff to come to fruition. And when I read this scripture, I want to show you this scripture. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, I want to show you this. Verse 25, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then, past tense, shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying," look what he says here, "yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken." Let me highlight that. The removal of those things that are being shaken. What did I just say? These kingdoms have to be removed. The monetary systems have to remove. Why? Because there's coming a new kingdom. There's coming a new monetary system. There's coming a new government. There's coming a new leader. Once more, the removal of those things that are being shaken as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Come on. Listen, there is a kingdom within a kingdom. Even though the world seems to be going to hell in a handbasket, listen, if you're on the side of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you are a citizen of heaven, and we cannot be moved. We're immovable. We won't be shaken. Come on, we are the remnant that is in the earth today that is still advancing the kingdom here on this earth. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Then Haggai, this is the same thing that Haggai spoke, I believe, in Haggai chapter 2. And this is what I want to remind you. If you're fretting, you're worried, you have anxiety, you're freaking out because of the economy, the Wall Street, the market crash, God, I come by to tell you, I want to remind you of what Haggai said. He tells us that the Lord is telling us the silver is his, the gold is his. I said the silver and gold are the Lord's, not Wall Street, not the feds, not the Federal Reserve, not the banks. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. But watch this. But look, let's back up to verse 6 and 7. Look what it says before he reveals that the silver is his, the gold is his. Watch this. Verse 6. "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, once more it is yet a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with the glory, says the Lord of hosts." So watch this. I believe that's not a coincidence, guys, that God is saying, watch for the nations of the earth to be shaken. Heaven, earth, the sea, the dry, everything that we can be shaken will be shaken. And the only thing that will remain is that which is of the kingdom of God. Everything's going to collapse. If things are going to fall, things are going to go into complete upheaval. This is the birth pains of the Messiah, all this here. And he's reminding us, guys, that the silver and gold is his. Bottom line, guys, do not fret, do not worry, don't be anxious about anything. David said, I was young and now I'm old, and I've yet to see the Lord forsake those who honor and serve him. Listen, if you think we came by to give you gloom and doom and fear-mongering and hyperbole, no. There's a shaking happening. We're in major turbulence, friend. But listen, I don't know who's behind the cockpit of your airplane, but I know who the pilot is of my airplane. And come on, his name is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes, we're in turbulent winds, and things are getting rocky and things are looking bad. But come on, if Jesus is behind the wheel, I come by to tell you today that everything is going to be all right. So listen, guys, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Go get our app today. Download it. Apple, Android. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away. Everything's going to be right at your fingertips. You'll be blessed. You'll be encouraged by our ministry. We equip, we inform, we edify, we do all this above. And again, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, we want to encourage you today to partner with our ministry. Guys, listen, I'm going to do a whole message on this. One of the ways that you can destroy the fear of mammon. Oh, brother, what if I lose it all? Listen, you can destroy the fear of mammon by making a covenant with God in your finances. That's what listen, I'm telling you what we've done. We've done it for 24 years. We tithe, we give, we honor the Lord in our tithes and our offerings. And God has been faithful through all the ups and downs, through when all hell's breaking loose in the economy. God has been faithful to us. And I believe that God is no respecter of persons. And if he did it for us, he'll do it for you. So listen, I want to encourage you today. Partner, if you're blessed by this ministry and you want to sow back and you want to partner with us, there's two different ways you can do that. You can give electronically through the app. That's the easiest way. Down at the bottom where it says donate, click on the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, or you can give by check or money order, and you can make it out to you right there on your screen at Endtime Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So guys, listen, we love you. We appreciate you. We're going to sign off for tonight. We'll be right back here tomorrow night, Tuesday, August 6th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Now, I don't know what we're going to be talking about. It's going to see what's going to happen in the next 24 hours. If nothing major happens in the next 24 hours in the Middle East or whatever or whatnot, then I plan on coming here and I'm going to do an equipping message. This is going to be a practical equipping message. It's going to be a blessing to you and your family. However, if something big happens, then of course we're going to inform you of that. And we're going to keep you up to date with that. So nevertheless, Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow night, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, I pray the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.